The COVID airlift in the making. I'm David Brancaccio. If we get a COVID-19 vaccine that works and works safely, the next Manhattan Project is getting it to people. Distribution involves colossal logistical and ethical issues, which we're covering on this program from multiple angles in the coming weeks and months. Today, all the airplanes and all the people. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, has been getting some info on this from London. Hello there.
Hi, David.
The International Air Transport Association says this is an airlift, a word with echoes of the Berlin airlift from 1948 into 49. What does something of this planned magnitude involve?
Lots and lots of planning, David. It's not just as simple as packing up vials of the vaccine and putting them on an airplane and getting them to their destinations. This is going to involve complex coordination between governments, the air cargo industry, and the passenger travel industry. Now, IATA, as it's known, their head of cargo, Glenn Hughes, told me that providing just one dose to 7.8 billion people would require 8,000 747 cargo planes.
Of course, there aren't 8,000 747 freighters on the planet, so it's going to require significant interconnectivity with passenger networks, with cargo networks, sometimes with passenger planes, as is happening now, flying cargo only. It does need governments to harmonize and align on trying to safely open passenger transportation, because that cargo capacity in the passenger planes will be crucial.
And it's not just the capacity that he's talking about. It's the conditions on those planes in which the vaccine will be transported, right?
Exactly. So first, the industry needs to know specifics about the vaccine. Will it be one dose or as many as three that are required per person? The more doses, the more freight capacity that's going to be needed. Then they'll need to know whether the vials need to just stay cool or be kept frozen. That impacts all the logistics along the route, including what kind of packaging and storage is required and how it can be kept cold or frozen while it's in transit across a range of different climates all around the world.
All right, so transporting is this huge deal, but then you actually need human beings to vaccinate other human beings. That's another challenge.
Yes, and this is where aid organizations need to coordinate with the transportation industry, because all those volunteers rely on the air travel to get them where they need to go. But passenger travel has been severely restricted because of the pandemic, as we all well know. Routes have been canceled, planes have gone into long-term storage, and that's put other planned vaccine programs like measles and polio at risk of postponement or even cancellation, because aid workers and medicines can't get where they're needed, and the people who need to be vaccinated have to contend with lockdown restrictions wherever they are. Now, IATA said that has to change for any delivery program to be successful, because places in some African countries, in Latin America and Southeast Asia, they're difficult to reach in the first place. But when you add poor transportation networks and the need for power for refrigeration to keep the vaccine stable, that creates all kinds of additional complexities that really need to be figured out before distribution can begin.
Victoria Craig, thank you. She anchors an early version of the Marketplace Morning Report out of the BBC in London. Next week, we'll hear from a doctor who was part of a vaccine campaign that wiped out smallpox. Same guy also was for a time a kind of team doctor for the Grateful Dead. All of our coverage of getting the globe immunized is accumulating at marketplace.org under the rubric Fast Track, the grand challenge of vaccinating the world against COVID-19. Markets, tech stocks started yesterday looking strong, but in the end, the Nasdaq fell 2%. This morning, the Nasdaq is up again, plus 0.7%. Now we'll see. The Dow is up 133 points, 0.5%. A similar percentage rise for the S&P 500 now. Lots of attention given when we learn that Google employees this summer don't have to go back into the office until at least next summer. But the Wall Street Journal is reporting today that the biggest of banks, JP Morgan Chase, is telling many of its traders and salespeople to get back into the office a week from next Monday, the 21st.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
There's a stretch of pavement in Palo Alto, California, Sand Hill Road, where the venture capitalists tend to swarm, which is a key engine of Silicon Valley's vitality, I guess. But there's a shift of venture money to tech hubs toward the middle of the country now. Think, for instance, Kansas City. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us now. Scott, what kinds of ventures are getting the attention of the money people now?
There's a huge range. There's a big data startup that maps foot traffic. There's clean energy, water efficiency. One investment group in this space is SaaS Ventures, which this week said it's putting $20 million into early stage companies in non-traditional cities. The co-founder, Colin Gutman, says many of these startups fit today's economy of work from home and shop from home.
We've seen e-commerce and cybersecurity, as well as logistics to some extent, really take off as every business has had to figure out what's their online strategy, how are they securing a remote from home workforce.
Interestingly, his firm backs several firms from Missouri, St. Louis, and Kansas City.
Now, these are places that early stage investors tended to miss.
Well, here's a couple numbers. The Heartland produces a quarter of the nation's patents, a third of the STEM graduates, but it gets just 5% of venture money. That's according to Brookings. Historically, talent and ideas left the Midwest for the coast, but now, as the argument goes, smart VCs can find gems in these new places.
Money pumped into companies, right? But also, I suppose, regions.
Yes. I mean, as far as regional economies, we should say most startups fail. When they succeed, there can be a huge payoff in growth and jobs and talent recruitment. One study found that U.S. venture capital adds up to less than 1% of GDP, but it delivers more than 20% of GDP in revenue.
All right, Scott, thank you. Federal occupational safety regulators have cited Smithfield Foods for not keeping enough distance between employees at its Sioux Falls, South Dakota meatpacking plant. Nearly 1,300 people were infected, 43 hospitalized, and 4 died. Smithfield Foods says it will contest this, including the $13,000 fine. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.